Hi, I'm Mike Martindale, pastor here at the Heights Fellowship. We are so glad that you guys have joined us today. We know that online isn't a replacement for the real thing, but we hope that as you listen to this message, that the Spirit of God would still move in your life. Thank you for listening.
I think what we're going to be talking about this morning is something that's very real in our world today and something that we've been dealing with way prior to COVID, but probably even more so circumstantially during these last 6 months, and that's with the idea of fear and how we respond to fear. You know, fear is a real thing that we all deal with at different levels in different unique circumstances. But I believe with all my heart Scripture has an answer for fear, and we're going to walk through that today and in the Psalms, and going to finish up in Hebrews and as we close up the message. But fear is a real thing we all struggle with. So right now I want you to think about, give you just a few seconds, what are you afraid of? What kind of fears right now in your life are you struggling with? You know, that are just constantly in your thought processes. You know, that you're unsure of. You don't know how it's going to end. You're not, it creates anxiety for you. You know, what fear is there? Because as we proceed this morning, I want you to make application to that. You know, that very specific thing that came to mind in your life as I said that, and as I asked that question. Because the reality is we can take God's word and we can make application to it in very real life circumstances. And all of our lives are unique enough that they're different. Categories generally may be the same. But for each of us, we each have to deal with and respond to those things that make us or prompt us to be afraid. Bob Goff said this. He said, fear will always try to talk us into settling for lesser things. You know, God wants the best for us. And when we get afraid in whatever our circumstances are, we tend to settle. Well, maybe this is just the way it's going to be. Maybe I'm just going to have to deal with this, whatever this is, for the rest of my life, perhaps, or for a year, for 2 years, for months. So we tend to settle for things that are less than what God has for us. In prepping for this message, it prompted me to begin thinking about what are my fears? You know, what fears have I had to deal with in life? And the first one that came to mind was not wanting to talk to a girl on the phone. That takes me back to about 12, 13 years old. And see, what you younger people in the room don't realize is that now, if I was 12, 13 years old and a girl called me, I could go back to my bedroom, I could go outside, take my cell phone, have a conversation, no one would know. Not so when I was 12 or 13. I had to go to the phone on the wall, and my dad answered the phone and said, Randy, it's Susie. And I'm going, great. I'm going to have to talk to Susie with my dad sitting in his recliner and my mom in the kitchen. They're both 10 feet away. They can hear everything I say. I don't want to talk to Susie. Tell Susie I'm not here. That didn't fly with my dad. You know, he's holding the phone out with the 6-foot cord. So, I mean, I couldn't even step into the garage if I wanted to. And that created fear. I don't want to live out this circumstance. Fear of jumping from the high dive. You know, I pride myself in being, especially growing up as a younger person, being an athlete. Nothing I can't do. But when I climbed those 10, 12 steps to that high dive at the swimming pool and walked out on the end and looked over the end and said, "Ooh, I don't want to do that." And everybody's going, come on, Randy, come on, you can do it. No, I can't. I'm afraid. I don't know what it's going to feel like. I don't know what it's going to mean for me to jump off. So I settled for something lesser, because once I did, it was lots of fun. You know, there was some exhilaration with that. There was some excitement. But not initially. There was great fear for the unknown. Praying out loud in big church. See, if any of you grew up in the Baptist church, as I did, then you know in the evening service, often they would have youth come and pass the offering plates and say the prayer during that time. Well, we don't even have night church anymore, you know, so that's not even a possibility. But they would come and they would say, Randy, would you do this? Sure would. We want you to say the prayer. Whoa, 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 whoa. That means I have to walk up on stage, look out over the audience at all these faces and pray. And all of a sudden my armpits would just start profusely sweating. That was a sign I was afraid. Wasn't that I didn't want to pray, it's that I didn't want to pray in front of everybody. There was a level of fear there. And what if my sin is discovered as I was growing up? I didn't want my dad to find out. I didn't want my mom to find out. You know, there was fear there and just thinking about that. What if I've found out? How do I deal with that? Afraid of getting married. Now, if Mina was here this morning, she would tell this story somewhat differently than what I tell it. But we've been dating for a while. I felt sure within myself that she was the one I needed to marry. But fear crept in, and I said, I can't do that. I don't know. That's a lifelong commitment. It scared me. You know, most people at that point would say, okay, let's sit down and talk through that. But as a 20-year-old college male, I did the only thing I knew to do. I broke up with her. I'm done. So now I had Mina mad at me. I had her two sisters mad at me. I had her mom mad at me. Because I can't explain really why, except that I was afraid of the unknown. But that's what I had to do. That was my response to that. Fear of losing, you know. It's kind of like yesterday during the ball game when we were up by 15. We got to get to zero on the clock. There was still a fear there that this wasn't going to happen, even though it looked really good. But as an athlete, I always had that. I don't like losing. I want to win. I'm going to do whatever it takes to win. So as a young man, those were things that rose up in me that created fear. There were probably a lot more. But those things were real for me. The fear was real. But then as an adult, as I've grown, mature, gotten older, my fears have changed. The uncertainty of everything being okay with my daughter, my grandchildren. That's what gives me fear today. Because I can't control all that. Are they going to be all right? Are they going to get through school fine? You know, are they going to get to do what they want to do? Are they going to be healthy? You know, are they going to have to take care of their grandpa? The fear of now being the patriarch of my family. I've lost both of my parents now to death. I'm the oldest. What does that look like? I haven't done that before. Prompts fear because of the unknown. The fear of it, whatever it is, fill in your blank, of disrupting my comfort. You know, I really like my life. But what if I get cancer? You know? What if I don't have a job anymore? How am I going to pay my bills? All those things that come into our minds that create potential fear. Fear of not having enough money at the end of life. You know, when you get to be my ancient age, you start thinking about stuff like, isn't that weird? On the first slide a while ago, that never entered my mind. Not one time did I ever think about, how am I going to make it to the end of life and let my money outlive me? Does now, though. You know, I got to be doing things to make sure that happens. Fear of being a burden to my family because of my health. You know, those are the things that sneak into my process, my thought processes, that cause fear. And here's the reality. Fears change, but they don't go away. You know, I've given you just a little snippet of my own life back to about 12 years old. all the way up to today, that's 50 years. Fears haven't gone away. I still have to respond to them. They just change. They're uniquely different now at where I am in life. So we're going to walk through five different psalms, because I think David took the same path in dealing with fears that we have to take. And we can read that. We can see that. We can trust in what the truth of the psalms and the encouragement from the psalms gives us as we respond to fear in our own lives. Psalm 56:3, David says, "When I am afraid, I put my trust in you." Notice the first word there, "when I am afraid." He didn't say if I'm afraid or the possibility of me being afraid. David knew that he had to cross paths, go down roads that would bring fear into his life. But he understood that when I'm afraid, I've got to put my trust in God. That's what I've got to do. Intellectually, he thought that. He wrote it. So when he's writing this psalm, he was struggling with being afraid of something. So our statement that we have to understand, the truth is that fear is inevitable, no matter where we are in life. Wherever we find ourselves, we're going to have things that we're going to have to deal with that make us afraid, whether it's jumping off a diving board or worrying about how you're going to get to the end of life. Psalm 34:4, David said this, "I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears." Okay, we see a progression. David realizes, I'm going to have fear. It's inevitable. But how do I begin trusting in the Lord? We see in Psalm 34, he says, "I sought the Lord. If I seek the Lord, then what's the Lord going to do? He's going to answer me. He's going to deliver me from all my fears." And I really believe when you read the context of Psalm 34, that when he says all my fears, it's in that moment. Okay? It's in that circumstance of life. David's not making this blanket statement, "It's going to take care of all my fears, past, future." It's in that moment when he's writing that. Whatever he's dealing with in that moment of writing Psalm 34, he's going to deal with those fears then. And you can also look at that if-then statement that says, if I seek him, he's going to give me the answer. He's going to deliver me. So what's the response? We've got to seek God in our fear. So when you realize that fear is welling up in you, I'm afraid, seek the Lord. How do you seek the Lord? Through prayer? Through reading a psalm? Lord, how do I get through this time that makes me afraid? Psalm 23, famous psalm for all of us. Most of us probably have it memorized. It says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And you notice how David says how we respond to fear. He says we get through it. Even though I walk through, that there's motion, there's movement. I'm going from this part of being really scared to not being as scared. Why? Because I'll fear no evil. Why? Because you're with me, God. You're walking through this fear with me. So often in the midst of fear, we feel like we're alone, that we're by ourselves, that there's nobody going through it with us. It's just me. David had gotten to the point in his life when he wrote Psalm 23 in the circumstance, he realized, no, it's not just me. God's walking through this with me, through this with me. It's not that I'm sitting stuck in this emotion of fear, this overwhelming circumstance of fear that I can't deal with. No, he's with me. And not only is he with me, he's going to provide his own tools to get me through it. Your rod, your staff, they give me comfort. See, we know the end of the story, don't we? Of Psalm 23. He makes it over into green pastures. He gets through whatever it is he's afraid of. The statement, I can get through my fear because God is proceeding with me and providing for me. Seeing as we're walking through a season of fear, that should be our expectation. Not to get stuck in the middle of the valley, but to get through it. And knowing that God's walking through that with you. Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Don't you know that when David in Psalm 23 was walking through that valley of the shadow of death, that it was dark, darker at minimum while he's in the midst of that, because it's rising on both sides. But ahead, what does he see? Sunlight. He sees a light. That's where I'm headed. I don't want to be stuck here in the valley because the Lord is my light and my salvation. I'm going to get from God the direction I need to know in the midst of my fear, and I'll experience salvation on the other side. I don't have to be overcome by my fear. But then we see a change in David's thought too in this psalm. He says, well, whom shall I fear? He asks the question. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Yes, he understood that fear was inevitable. And he understood that God was going to provide, but now the whole process of his maturity starts rising to the surface as he writes this psalm that I don't have to fear what man throws at me. I don't have to. I can get through this. So the Lord is my strength against all man has to throw at me. And think about your fears. I would be willing to bet that all of your fears have to do with either a person or a group of people or an organization that's made up of people that project these expectations or their design on you. I don't know how that's going to be. It's just like when I get afraid of not having enough money at the end of life, well, whose fault is that? That's Randy's fault. I should have prepared better. So see, it's back to a person. I create my own fear. You know, when my dad died back in December, it had to do with a relationship. Again, a person was connected to my fear. What do I do without him? But the Lord is my strength against all man has to throw at me, which means politics, and every other thing we have to deal with. Disease, which originated in a man somewhere and spread through men. Whom shall I be afraid? Then he finishes up, at least our part today. There's a lot more about fear in the Psalms. But Psalms 118:6 says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? He still asks that question. That's rhetorical. Man can't do anything to me. That's what he's saying. What can man do to me? But I want you to see a different confidence that David now has. Not at the beginning. Fear's inevitable, so I've got to trust in God to get me through this. But now, in this psalm, David's making a decision. I will not fear. I'm going to choose not to fear. Within the context of my circumstances. Even though things make me afraid, I'm going to choose to trust God. I'm going to choose to believe God. Right in the midst of all this that scares me, I'm going to keep moving. I'm going to get through it, and I'm going to believe God, and I will not fear. I'm going to keep my eyes on Him. So I can decide. And that's what's so cool about understanding this, about what we get afraid of. And the truth of God's word is that I can decide not to be afraid because the Lord's in my corner. You know, as Jim mentioned during worship. We don't always know how God's going to answer us or deliver us specifically from our fears. It's almost never like we expect it to be. Have you ever noticed that? But yet he still delivers us from those things that make us afraid. He's faithful. You can trust him. Bob Goff also said, every day we get to choose whether to give the microphone to hope or fear. The choice we make is the life we'll lead. We're going to be afraid, and we're going to speak words of fear, kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. Well, I'm afraid, so I'm going to continue to be afraid. That's not what we hear from David. I'm going to choose not to be afraid. So courage is not necessarily the antithesis to fear. A lot of times we think, if I'm me jumping off the diving board, okay, I just need to have courage. I need to have courage. I need to have courage. It's part of it. But it's really faith. I've got to believe that when I hit that water, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to trust that I've watched 120 other kids do the same thing, and why would it be different for me? I should have faith in that jump, that next step that I'd never done before. And so often, that's what faith looks like. We step into something we've never done before. That's what faith is. See, a partner of faith is hope. You know, in Corinthians, Paul said, faith, hope, and love. There's a reason he picked those three concepts of spiritual truth. He says the greatest is love, but you got faith and hope that work in concert. This is Randy's definition, that hope is a confident expectation that God's in control. And that's real in the midst of my fear, in the midst of me being afraid. God's got control here. And I can choose not to be afraid because I'm trusting in him, in his provision of being with me. His strength, not mine. Hebrews 11:1 gives us this biblical definition. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And so often that's what causes us fear. We can't see into that darkness. We can't see that next step. And so we're afraid. But all of the heroes of the faith in Hebrews 11 overcame significant fear by speaking and acting based upon a hope in a believable God who was greater than what their circumstances revealed. Every one of them. Go back and read them. I'm going to give you a few. Abel, by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice. He offered what God asked for. He took a risk. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence, he prepared. It had never rained before. But he prepared, just like God told him to, in faith that what God said is true. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place that he knew not where he was going. Have you ever been there before? God's telling you to do something, prompting you to do, I don't even understand that. That's the way Abraham was. By faith, even Sarah herself received. She was old. She was in her 90s, and God said, you're going to have a baby. Even in her laughter about God, she chose to follow after God and believe. By faith, Moses was hidden as a baby. You know the story. They were going to kill him. All of the children his age, by faith, his family put him in a basket. We're going to trust God with this. Also, Moses, by faith, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That's not who I am. That's how God answered me here, how he took care of me here, but that's not who I am. So he refused to be left in that identity. But then by faith, he left Egypt, not knowing what the wrath was going to be. He left. Why? Because God told him to. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. Again, he honored God. He believed God in his action. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish. All of those, there were actions, there were words that were given there that we can see and read in Scripture. That's why they're in the Hall of Fame of Faith in Hebrews 11. Because they believed God through their fears. Don't you think there were fears when Moses had to go back to Egypt and confront Pharaoh? Yeah. But I'm going to believe God. I'm going to trust in His provision. So, the question comes down to me. If I'm going to make application, by faith, Randy does what? Do I obey? Do I believe? Do I leave? Do I do something different? Do I persevere? So I have to ask myself that question. And you guys, I want you to be challenged to ask the same question. Put your name in the blank. How do you need to choose to believe God through your fears? Whatever that is right now for you. That unique thing that only you're afraid of. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, just past the faith chapter in Hebrews says this. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witness surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. See, that's how Jesus lived out the fears, and we can see that as an example. That's how we can live out, live through our fears, and focus on who Jesus is in our lives. Philip Yancey says this, and we'll close. I've learned that faith means trusting in advance what will make sense only in reverse. If you've ever had to walk through a fear in your life and trust God with it, you understand what Philip Yancey's saying. You almost never know how it's going to turn out. But you trust God with that because it'll make sense in the end. It's the way David was in Psalm 23 when he walked through the valley. I'm not sure how we're going to get out of this. But when he was standing in the green pastures and there was peace in his life, he understood it. But it was in reverse. He didn't understand it up front. So here's some action steps, and then we'll pray and close. Acknowledge your fears and choose God over your circumstances. Okay, I hope you've heard that today. Walk through your fears, through them, get through them with God's protection and provision. And then determine to experience the hope that comes from following Jesus Christ. Because there is hope in following Jesus Christ. Let me pray and we'll be done. God, thank you so much for the opportunity today to be able to share from your word, both in the Psalms and Hebrews, and how they all connect. I mean, that's just something, God, that we, every time we dig deep into your word, we see that it all fits so together. That the truth of the Old Testament, the truth of David, is the truth of Hebrews. And God, I pray that we can respond to those things that make us afraid in the way that David did, that we can acknowledge them, that we can get through them, and that we can believe that there's nothing that man can do to us that we can't get through because you're with us. And God, we thank you for that. We celebrate that here today. And it's your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We believe in the power of the Word of God. If you made a decision, we would love to hear from you. As well, if you have any questions, let us know at the email listed at the bottom of the screen. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a good day.